Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word that you have for us today. We thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit here today. We thank you that because two or more of us are gathered together, Lord, you're here with us. You're in this place with us. And we thank you so much for that. We thank you so much for your presence here today. So much so. Praise the Lord. So, trajectory has really been like with dreams, following our dreams, following the things that God puts in our hearts. Like I spoke about last week, is part of having a goal or a purpose someplace you intend to be. When you were dating somebody, and this is my theory on dating, this is just mine, probably the best thing to do isn't to just date around. My wife and I, we started dating because independently of each other, while praying, God told us that this is the person you're going to marry. Kathy hadn't dated around a lot. I had too much before I went into Teen Challenge and done too much. And her parents were a little bit against the idea of their daughter marrying someone who'd had such a checkered past. They're okay with it now, though. And so we knew when we were dating, the end goal was marriage. It wasn't just to find out if this was something that was going to work. In other words, we were told independently of each other by God that this is the person you're going to marry. So then in order to do that, we had to work out how that was going to work out. We had to work out how that was going to work out. And so when you're dating, you have a trajectory if you know that the goal is marriage. So you're working on how you're going to get along with each other. Who squeezes the toothpaste in the middle and who rolls it from the end. And if you can't compromise on that, the compromise is each of you has your own toothpaste. So you're not angry at the person for always squeezing when you roll from the bottom. Right? So you find out, you know, it's like toilet paper. Toilet paper should roll over the top. Did you know that in the original demonstration and for the patent for that, it shows toilet paper rolling over the top, not coming out from behind. So toilet paper should roll over from the top. Fortunately, we both agreed on that. A trajectory, if you look it up, the word trajectory is the path followed by a projectile flying or an object moving under the action of given forces. The missile's trajectory was preset. Each of us has a trajectory in our life. You look at your life and you don't think to yourself, I just want to wander around not knowing from day to day, year to year, where I'm going and what's going to happen. Nobody sets out to do that. Everybody from early childhood, I mean, you know, kids, they go through all of these different things they want to do. They want to be veterinarians. They want to be firemen. They want to be policemen. They want to be astronauts. They want to be doctors. They want to travel. They want to be a singer. They want to do this. They want to do that, right? It all changes, but at some point in our lives, we're supposed to set a trajectory for our lives so we know where we're going, that we have an end goal, right? Every person in life who has been successful has had a plan. It wasn't just, what is the old saying? Yeah, what will be, the future. Yeah, that's it. Que sera, sera, whatever will be, that will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera. That is not how God intends for our lives to be. God has a plan and a purpose for every single person. And our responsibility is to find out what it is that God wants us to do. Is everybody called to ministry? No, but everybody's called to minister. Wherever you're at, you're called to be a minister of the gospel wherever you're at. Now, if you're called to be a doctor or a lawyer or a store manager or whatever it is that you're called to do, in that you have your calling. Your trajectory is to be obedient and to follow after the plan that God has for you. Let's imagine we're going on a trip. Let's say it's to Disneyland. Okay? Are you just going to get in your car and start driving? I think south is that way, so we'll head that way. No, you know, back it used to be, you know, and I say the old days now, but I haven't pulled out a map. I can't remember how long. I've got my map program on my phone, and I just, you know, I say, you got to be careful, because if I say, you just ask Siri to tell you, give me directions to this place, and, you know, she pulls it up, and off we go. We have a trajectory. There's a plan. If I just get in my car and I start driving, I could end up in Michigan if I don't know where I'm going. And then we say, well, this is just where God had me to go. This is just where life took me. I don't want to be a this is just where life took me kind of person. I've told you this before. We've talked about this. We were up at Tahoe 3 years ago, and we just hated leaving because we just love the mountains. And see, we wrote down on the iPad that we were going to live in the mountains with rivers and trees and lakes, someplace that was a mountain community, and I would be pastoring a church, and we'd be living in a 3-bedroom home. Here we are. And Lake Tahoe is just a coin toss away. We set a trajectory. We set a goal. We knew in our hearts that we wanted to be someplace like this. This is the thing that was in our hearts. This was the desire of our hearts. And, you know, some people say, well, you know, when you have when the scripture says God gives us the desires of our hearts, it just means that he implants the desires there. And others say, well, it means that he brings them to pass. I would say it's both. God both puts desires in our hearts and helps bring them to pass. But we have to set our minds and our heart on going that direction. Think about Lot. Abraham's cousin Lot, and he's gotten himself into trouble. He's over in Sodom and Gomorrah, and God tells Abraham, he says, well, I'm gonna destroy the city. And he said, well, will you save it for, you know, X number of righteous people? And okay, well, can I at least go get Lot and his family? You know, it comes down to, you know, it's this long thing, and God says, yeah, you can go get Lot and his family and bring them out. And the one command they had was not to turn around and look back while the past was being destroyed. Lot's wife was still clinging to the past. She turned to look at what God told her not to look back to anymore. If we're going to set a good trajectory, we can't be held on to by the past. Lot's wife was holding on to the past. The past is not going to get us to where we need to be in the future. Okay, let's make this real simple. If you are someone who talks bad about their boss, or you have a friend who talks bad about your boss, and you hang around with people that are talking negative, and it's hard not to get sucked in. Those kind of things will pull you off of your trajectory, because you cannot go forward in negativity. Negativity will always hold you back. If I've got friends that are always talking negative, or always pulling on the negative aspect of things, it's going to pull me off trajectory. Because God is a God of love. He said in Corinthians, he says, love believes the best. So if I can't believe the best of somebody, then how can I move forward with God? Because now I'm talking bad about somebody. Have you ever found yourself talking about something and you think to yourself, I don't really know about that situation? And here you've been maybe talking about it for 15 or 20 minutes. All kinds of things are coming out of your mouth about what could possibly be going on. You know, why did that person cut me off? Kathy always says, well, it's not my fault. They're the ones that are in a hurry. They probably didn't plan their day right. And then she moves on. I want to wonder why. I want to be upset a little bit about it. But when I do that, I'm just feeding negativity. I'm building myself up in negativity. I'm not building myself up in love. It would be love to say, well, bless them. Lord, watch over them. Don't let them hurt anybody. Set your trajectory and focus on the fact that you're saved and God loves you. Set your focus, feed your faith with God loves you. God loves me. I might not feel really good today. I might not be happy today. I might have woke up today and I'm just in a bad mood. But I have to remind myself, David said he stirred himself up in the Lord. We're going to have to stir ourselves up sometimes when things don't necessarily seem to be going the direction that we want them to go, or that life, we thought that life would be taking us. Stir yourself up. Get back on the trajectory. I don't know what your call is. I don't know what your gift is necessarily. But I'm going to tell you, God's mercy is bigger than our past and the problems that we hold on to. He said his mercies are new every day. So you had a negative day yesterday. It's in the past. Move on. If you feel bad about it, ask God to forgive you. And move on. Receive new mercies for today. It doesn't matter. I don't care what kind of person you used to be. You could have always been the sweetest person in the whole wide world. You could have been a mafia hitman. I don't care. God's mercies are new for you today. God's, if I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be here. Fuel your intended trajectory. Every year, people make resolutions. I have intended this year, I'm not making any resolutions. I was going through December, and I was thinking, well, you know, what am I going to do for, you know, the next year? And I thought, that seems like a heavy responsibility, making a bunch of heavy determinations on how I'm going to do everything for the next year. So I determined that I'm going to make small changes, and I'm going to do different things differently. So one of those things, and this is a big one for me, I have always associated myself with being an introvert. I know, right? I have determined today, this year, I am not going to call myself an introvert anymore. I'm not an introvert anymore. It's going to take some adjusting, but I'm not an introvert anymore. I know, it seems odd, you know, pastors that can be introverts, but it's possible. In addition to that, I'm not laying off anything, but I'm in the process of cutting out sugar. I'm not doing it all in one day, because that puts a lot of stress on, puts a lot of pressure on. Every year, though, people make resolutions they're going to get rid of junk food. This year, my main resolution is I'm getting rid of negativity in my life. Anything that causes negative impact in my life, I'm going to start getting rid of. Sugar causes a negative impact in my life. Bread. I love bread. But bread does not love me. So I'm going to stop eating bread. Bread does not like me. In the same way that we cut out things naturally, cut out things spiritually. Cut out negativity. Stop letting yourself be... I quit watching TV news years ago. Man, I got set free from anger. I'm telling you, just watching the... I can't watch the news. Yeah, my dad, sometimes he has the news on, and I just, you know, I go to another room. I don't... If I want news, I read it somewhere. And I don't have to listen to anybody commentary on it, and people bicker back and forth. This is what I'm talking about and as far as getting negative things out. Because negativity that is filling our souls, filling our inward man, is what holds us back from moving forward with God. Because we can always find something we don't like about something. Well, I don't like this about church, or I don't like that about pastor. I don't care. Nobody gets along perfectly. We've been married 19 years. We don't agree all the time. But one thing we agreed on as a trajectory for our marriage before we got married is that we were never going to talk about divorce. It was never going to be an option. Never. That's a way of setting a trajectory. If something is not an option, that you're not ever going to do it, then it's never going to happen, then it's off the table for all future discussions. Set their trajectory. The trajectory for your marriage is, I don't care how difficult it gets, divorce is not an option. That's right, it doesn't make anything better. Fear. 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 That is like the worst four-letter word. Fear. You're afraid to do something. You're afraid not to do something. You're afraid of what will happen. You're afraid of what people will think. Stop being afraid. You know, for years I sat in churches and I would, you know, the Holy Spirit would start moving and I would sit in fear that God was going to have me stand up and give a word or an interpretation or something like that in church. I lived in fear for that. Because what if I was wrong? Well, if God put it on your heart, then it's probably not wrong. Here's something that is really fascinating about God. If you set your heart to seek Him, and you think, what if I'm wrong about what God wants me to do? Can I tell you that God is able to fix in process of where you're going, if you're in faith believing that it's God telling you to do it, he can get you where you need to be. Why? Because you're just in faith following Him, just believing that He's the one who told you to do it. So you get out and you start to go do it, and He's going to get you right. You might have, this applies for jobs, it applies for moving, it applies for everything, every aspect of life. If you are in faith and your trajectory is to follow God, He's going to make sure that you stay in line. Because you're trusting Him. Say we're in during worship service and you really feel like you've got a word from God. Do you think that God, if you open your mouth, God will fill it? He said in Scripture, He says, if you'll open your mouth, I'll fill it. And He will fill it. If you believe you've got a word from God, open your mouth, He will fill it. If I don't open my mouth, He can't fill it. I could come stand up here and just... Or we're just waiting for God to move. Or you could be a movement yourself. Don't fear. Don't doubt. Don't be an I can't person. Instead, be an I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Stop it. Stop with the I can't. Because that's absolutely contradictory to what God said. He said you can. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. There's no I can't. Stop I can't. My kids were doing homework. I can't. Don't say that. I don't know. Don't say that. Because the more often you say, I can't, the more you build into yourself, you can't. For years I said, I can't do algebra. Did that help me? No, it wasn't until Faith was in fourth grade and she had to start taking some early algebra stuff and I was homeschooling her and I was reading through the book and I understood what they meant. That's how long it took. From her age to, you know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. And all of a sudden, I started to understand it, and I thought, I guess I can do algebra. See? We can do anything we put our minds to. God, his big complaint with Babylon. Do you remember what it was? If I don't stop them, nothing will be impossible to them. Why? Because they believed they could. On the day of Pentecost, He gave his followers the Holy Ghost and a new language. And he says, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. When we have the Spirit of God and we're walking in fellowship with Him, when we're following Him, when we've got our eyes set on what He has in store for us, nothing will be impossible to us. All things, Jesus said this, all things are possible to them who believe. You can go and you can be the person, you can do the thing that God put on your heart. You can. Was it your Aunt Irene? She was in, how old was she when she started back to college? In her 30s, decided, I can do this or not do it. It took her several years, 10 years. Of night school and working full-time during the day, and she got what? She got her master's degree. It's never too late. Maybe you always wanted to have a master's degree, or you wanted to have a degree in something. It's not too late. You can do it. If it's on your heart and you believe that this is the thing that God has for you to do, go do it. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. My dad and mom got married, and he didn't have his degree yet, and he would work all day, and then he'd go and he'd drive all the way from Laverne to Mount Sac College, and he did that for years to get his degree with a wife and kids at home. Yeah. It was work, but he did it. He retired from civilian military. It's the highest military, non-military grade. It was one of the highest non-military grade. The highest without a flag. He retired after going to Norfolk, Virginia. He's a mechanical engineer. Okay? He worked as the science advisor to the commander-in-chief of the North Atlantic Fleet in Norfolk, Virginia. It scared him. But he did it. He did it. Anybody who really has something in their heart that they really want to do can do it. If God has put a dream in your heart, if God has put something in your heart, you can do it. Nothing is impossible if you believe. Let's get over to King Saul. Israel wanted a king. God gave them a king. He failed. 1 Samuel 16. Samuel is mourning. He's having a tough time. Let me pull this up here. God said to Samuel, how long are you going to mourn for Saul? How long are you going to mourn for the past? How long are we going to mourn for something we spent so much time in the past, like Lot's wife, who turned around? God's instructions to Samuel were, pick up your horn, fill it with oil. I've got a new king coming. Pick up wherever you left off. Pick up, get your horn, which represents your strength. Fill it with oil, which represents the anointing. And move on. God's got something new for you. If something fell apart in your past, it's okay. Move on from that. Move on from Sodom and Gomorrah. Move on from the king that was. Pick up your strength and move forward. He's got a new king. He's got something new for you. God doesn't ever let something fall around you and then not have something better for you in your future. But we have to set our trajectory. We have to set our goals. We have to set our hearts, our minds on following after God. Samuel could have said, no, I can't do this again. I can't go. I spent years training this last king. I spent years mentoring him. And now you just want me to forget about all that and go pick up and go train another one? But he did. He got up. Isn't that the instruction that Jesus gave his disciples? He said, when you go to these towns, anybody that won't receive you, just wipe the dust off your feet and move on, right? God's instruction is always just wipe the dust off and go on. If you made a mistake in your trajectory, wipe the dust off and go on. Pick up and go on. Don't sit there and mourn. Ecclesiastes says there's a time for rejoicing and a time for mourning. In other words, move on. There's going to be mourning. There's going to be some sorrow. You're going to feel bad about maybe missing it. Fine. When you're done, get up and move on. Dust off the dirt and move on. Keep going. Don't ever give up on a dream or something that God has put in your heart. This is a new year. It's a new day. I've said this before. God's mercies are new every day. We don't just get 365 of them at the beginning of the year. And then if we use them all up in the first 3 days, we have none for the rest of the year. His mercies are new every day. Even if you need 365 of them a day. They're new every day. Don't stop. Keep moving forward. I like that about Walt Disney. That was his motto. Around here, we try a lot of things, we make a lot of mistakes, but we just keep moving forward. We keep moving forward. That's a really godly principle right there. Anybody hear of Katy Perry? She was raised in a Christian church. Huh? She said, I just texted her and told her to get her Bible back out. Katy Perry is this now world-famous pop singer. She was raised in an Assembly of God church where she sang on the worship team, and she sang special songs in church, and she had a beautiful voice, and everybody loved her. And so she decided she wanted to be a singer, so she went to Hollywood. And her last name is actually Hudson, but they've already got the actress Kate Hudson. So you know, she went with Katy Perry instead. And on Mother's Day several years ago, she came out with a new song. It was her hit song. It was, I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It. She was raised in church. Mary Hudson, we were at church, and she was talking about it on the Mother's Day. She stood up and she said, my daughter, on Mother's Day, released her biggest hit single, I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It. She said, that was the hardest day in my life. She said, but do you know what? Every day, I get up, and I keep going forward, and I keep believing God for my daughter. And I keep believing that she's going to come back to him. Every day, it's a decision to get up, dust off the dirt from yesterday, rub on the oil of anointing, click into the shoes of the mercies of God, and go on. Every day. Every day. For 16 years, our friend back there was believing God to be healed from multiple sclerosis. What if she'd quit 2 months ago? What if she'd said, well, it's not going to happen. I guess it's just not going to happen. Every day, we keep saying she's got perfect eyes and perfect sight. We will never stop. We never stop fighting for what we know God has for us. If you know that God has healing for you, don't ever stop believing. If you have to, put the song on. Don't stop believing. Hold on to that feeling. This is why I don't lead worship. Okay? I know, my face turns red, doesn't it? 100 different shades of red. Pick up your strength and your joy. Pick up your horn. Fill it with the oil of anointing and the joy of God, and keep going on. People will look at you strange. Why do you keep trying? Why do you keep trying to do this? People looked at us. I mean, my cousin told me after the loss of our second son, he said, you guys need to stop. This is painful for children. He's pro-abortion, which is odd. People look at you strange. When we had faith, and the doctors, they bring you in and they have this big staff meeting with you, and they tell you all the things that could go wrong, and they could get, because she was premature, she was born 15 weeks early, and she only weighed 13 ounces. And they gather around to tell you, these are all the things that you should expect. And Kathy said, okay, I understand that. You're telling me what you have to tell me. She said, but I'm not going to stop believing God for my child. They told us one night, I went up with my mom, and the doctor said, she's just not going to make it through the night. We went back to my mom's, to Kathy's room, and it's a much longer story than that. Prayed. Two of our prayer friend ladies were there, and we prayed. And then all night long, I kept having this dream. I would wake up that she had just died. And I would wake up and I'd say, no, she shall live and not die. And then I'd go right back to sleep. In the morning, I didn't have a phone call, and I called Kathy, and I was nervous. And she said, well, I haven't heard anything. And she said, oh, here comes the doctor. She calls me back 5 minutes later. She says, the doctor said, we don't know what happened, but she made a miraculous turnaround last night. It wasn't anything we did. He actually said, I don't know why she's alive, We didn't do it. God did. What if we had just, when they said she's not going to make it, start planning for her funeral? Don't start planning for a funeral. If God hasn't put a period there, don't put one. If he didn't put a question mark there, don't put one. Keep moving forward. Naomi lost her husband and both of her sons. One of her daughters-in-law left. Rightly so. She told her to. She told both of them to. Ruth would not leave. They went back to her hometown. Naomi found a new purpose. She found her new trajectory. Her new purpose and her new trajectory was to get Ruth married to her kinsman redeemer. And in doing so, changed her life. Changed the life of Ruth. Brought us Jesse, Obed, and David, the king of Israel. And ultimately, Jesus. Because she changed her trajectory. She stopped focusing on what she had lost and moved on. Maybe we would even know Lot's wife's name if she'd have been able to move on. We don't even have a name for her. It's just Lot's wife. Put the pain aside. Change your trajectory. Paul said that good, in 1 Corinthians 15:33, he said, bad company corrupts good morals. If you've got people around you who are feeding fear and feeding doubt and feeding negativity, you don't need them. You get yourself with people who are positive, who are going to encourage you, who are going to help you. When you call them and you say, this is happening, I need prayer, they're not going to tell you how the same thing happened to someone else and they died. Don't have that friend. You don't need that friend. You need the person who's going to stand up with you and say, come on, let's believe God together. And if you don't have someone like that, call us. Because all things are possible to him who believes. But we've got to get rid of the negative influences in our lives that are holding us back. The past, our regrets, our doubts, our fears, the troubles, the burdens, everything that's been there in the past. You have to let it go if you want to move on. We have to let it go if we want to move on. Yeah, maybe you spent years devoted to something and you found out it was wrong. Put it aside and move on. Because you can spend years being devoted to something, thinking that it's God and find out it's not. Let it go. Let God. Oh, that old saying, huh? Let go and let God. Do everything you can to seal in your trajectory this year. Do everything you can to seal it in today, this week, this month, this year. Don't stop trying to seal it in. You are the only person who can set the trajectory for your life. We always tell our kids this. Only you can control your emotions. If you're going to cry and weep and moan about something, you're the only one who can stop you. I can't stop you from crying, weeping, and moaning. Snow White, the only thing that stopped her from crying, weeping, and moaning was the light of day. She woke up in the middle of the forest. Turned out it wasn't filled with monsters. It was filled with cute little woodland creatures and the beautiful little cottage. We have to seal ourselves in and determine, this is what I'm doing. This is my goal. How am I going to reach it? What do I need to do to change the path that I'm on so I can get on the right path with God? So that I can be everything he called me to be, so that I can do everything he said he wanted me to do. And remind myself every day, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can do all things. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible because I believe. Find out what God says about you. Find out what he said in his word about you. Seek him and find out what he wants you to do. Most changes are small changes. Small changes. Small changes. On a line, on a level line, if you have like a bubble level and you've got a level line, if you put one tiny dot on that line, it's going to hit that dot and it's going to change the trajectory. When you're driving your car and you're going down the hill, you have to constantly be adjusting and making adjustments. That's all we're talking about today, is little adjustments that need to be made here and there. Maybe you've got a friend who's negative. Try not answering the phone once a day. ease back on those things. Start changing how you relate with others and how you relate with God. Little changes most often are the most effective. God says, stop eating bread. That's a little change. I can do that. One change at a time. We got memberships at the gym. We've had them almost a week. We are going to go. But see, we're making changes. Little things, small adjustments. Scripture says that the little foxes spoil the vine. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. One little change can change your entire future. It can change how you act, how you interact, and how you relate to God. One little change. Maybe he says, just read a proverb a day. Just read a proverb a day. I can do that. Can you do that? What is God telling you to do? What is he saying to do to change where you're headed from where you're at? Find out what it is and make the course adjustment, get the trajectory of your life back on course with where God wants us to be. Amen?